I think it's really hard to break that block without really understanding what ingredients are doing.
Following people on TikTok and Instagram or LinkedIn, or I don't know what you use, but like people who inspire you, and then I've found so much inspiration through just the internet. Anyways.
Welcome to Kitchen Tape. I'm Rose Wild.
And I'm Cassie Mandietta. And today we are answering some of the questions that you've left for us in the Spotify comment box.
Yeah, we're really excited to see so many people putting in some questions to us. And we decided it would be fun to do some bonus episodes where we answer them semi-live.
Semi-live.
Live-ish. Yeah, live-ish.
Let's take it away with our first question. I'm going to ring you in. Ring, 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 ring.
Our first question comes from Aoife. She says, how do you deal with pastry block as an art block? I struggle with recipe development and need help. You guys are such an inspiration. Love from Ireland.
I really like this question. First of all, thank you, Ireland.
Thank you, Aoife.
Thank you, Aoife from Ireland. Because I think it's a broader question also about like just creativity block, whatever your
creative medium is.
Yeah.
I mean, my creative unblocking is very specific to like...
To recipe development like, or food?
Food. So I usually start off by like going to a bookstore and flipping through some like new cookbooks just to see like, you know, what's out there.
When you say new cookbooks, you mean new to you or do you mean like whatever is most recent?
Like a mix of both. And so the reason I choose to do this at a bookstore rather than like my own home library, because I do have tons of books, but I've already flipped through them. So nothing's really like new or exciting to me. Mm-hmm. But when you go to a bookstore, like there's always going to be a new cookbook out and there's always going to be something you haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. So I do like to look through those books and like see just like what sorts of ingredients people are using, maybe some new methods, things like that. Mm-hmm. Library too is a great place to start. And then after that, this is like a process that I have honed.
Yeah, take us away.
So then after that, I will go to a specialty ice cream store because ice cream is my like sweet treat of choice.
Agreed. And 100%.
Like specialty ice cream stores are always doing something a little funky. Mm-hmm. That's like very inspiring. A lot of this came through when I was working at Mr. Holmes and I had to develop ideas for 84 different cruffins and donuts in 2 weeks. And I was like, how do I even keep thinking? So like seeing ice cream places do like Salt and Straw at one point had this like nacho ice cream that was like a tortilla chip base. Or it was like a cheesy base and then there was like candied tortilla chips in it. And so seeing different ice creams like that is also very inspiring to be like.
It has become a very like playful arena for people to condense flavor into.
Yeah. And then thinking like, and then I'll do like a little like internal exercise that's like, okay, well, how would I make this nacho ice cream into like a nacho cruffin or a nacho cake? And like, that's not necessarily like my intention, like I'm not gonna just like rip it off and be like, now we have a nacho cruffin, but it's a fun little exercise to like get those gears turning. Exactly.
And now you also have ice cream, so win-win.
Win-win. And then after that, because I'm not done there, I will go to like maybe like a small little restaurant with like a decently sized pastry like menu, and I'll fire the entire pastry menu just to get more like inspiration and seeing like, you know, what are people doing and like, you know, what flavor, like just it's all about like what flavors
best
are being
research
used.
Is absolutely done through your mouth. Always order the dessert storm.
So either going and ordering the entire pastry menu or going to like a little bakery and ordering like, you know, the fun seasonal pastries,
because you're gonna share it with your friends.
This is all solo. I do keep a head of broccoli in my purse to, like, you know, level things out because this is also, like, a two-day process. It's not spread out, like, at all.
It's more of a spiritual talisman, though, rather than something you're going to eat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's just, pull it out.
You're channeling wellness.
I look at it and I'm like, I'm staring at the broccoli while eating just, like, creme brulee after creme brulee.
Willing it to be so.
Yeah. And then, finally, I round this all out. Or I used to because I don't drink anymore. But going to a bar
for and like cocktail?
A cocktail.
It's a similar cocktails. Idea where it's like we're condensing a complicated flavor into mm-hmm. like one little
one drink and sip. Seeing how it like melds together on yeah. your tongue. And yeah, so that's my day-long process.
Is that, well, aside from the drinking, is that still what you do then? That is, now yeah. that you're recipe developing, not for someone else's rubric, but for yourself?
For myself, it's pretty just based on what I want to eat. So it's a little easier to be inspired because it's what I want to eat rather than like I have this strict timeline. But so yeah, now that I'm recipe developing more for myself and like for people who subscribe to my newsletter, it's much more like this is what I am baking for myself and what I want to eat right now. And if you like it, you like it and you make it, or you don't. I'm not really trying to please anyone other than myself through what I bake. So I don't find myself getting as blocked unless I'm like, man, I haven't developed anything in a while. I need to send something out. Then I'm like a little more stuck. Yeah.
What about, and then you apply this process?
I'm not, you know, pulling the trigger and doing all four aspects, but like I'll go to the library and like look through books and like I'll do like a condensed version of it. Maybe not eat all 31 flavors at Baskin Robbins, but
19 at least.
Two-ish, you know. What about you?
I think that we share research in common. I find like researching is always great because there's always something more to learn. So if you're feeling stuck, what better way than to learn something completely new, and then that'll trigger something else and you kind of bounce from there. So I think that I am a little different in that I look more towards ingredients initially. So if I know I want to make something, I think of like the first the main ingredient, or more likely I think of a type of cuisine or an area of the world I'd like to eat something from, or I'd like to develop something from, and then I'll figure out the ingredients that are there and then the ingredients that are here and like make a Venn diagram, and whatever overlaps is generally what I'm going to play with. I think that that's something that I developed working for a bunch of different restaurants doing different kinds of cuisines and feeling like I wanted to make something authentic but also seasonal enough here. And so that was my cheat sheet, which is basically what I wrote in my book about like how to be creative with flavor. But I think it's a pretty easy exercise that you can apply if you're blocked by just giving yourself like a prompt. So if you're feeling like you want to create something but you can't think of anything, think of a place you want to go to or something
and
what you want to eat yeah. or somewhere you've been and what you want to eat, and then like go from there and look what's in common. So I often find myself looking at more resource leading books of like history of peas or like where nectarines were originally from or something kind of like very nonfiction and dense like that.
Yeah.
And then I'll flip through some recipes. I do start with my own library first because I kind of trigger by like in a fugue state lots of cookbooks and I just don't even understand how many I have.
I also love that you're like cookbooks. There's so many books that have multiples, and I feel like it's because
those are different volumes.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, see, that's the other thing, is that I won't just buy one. Yeah. If I kind of do some research on someone and like really believe in what they're doing, I'll buy everything they've written, which is something I started doing when I was really, I mean, I still love literature, but like in college when I was finding authors I liked, I wasn't like, oh, that book was nice, I'll read another. I would buy everything they had written and read it all, and then spend like a couple of weeks like confused as to which plot was which, but deeply moved. And the same goes for food. So like I'll usually go to my books and kind of stare at that and be like, I'd like to make a cinnamon roll, but that my fiance who's Middle Eastern would find kind of familiar but also of here, and I'll pull out every book in my head looking at the shelf that I think covers that and go to their indexes and then lay them all at once and then kind of look at them all at once and like from there pull the best things. So in that sense, I'm sort of crowdsourcing, and I do it very much like majority opinions and like what is a rule and what is something that I could probably break with. And then I just write that down and then I test that recipe and that becomes my like Frankenstein base. And from there, I'll like change things. And then I think if we're talking about getting blocked in developing the recipe that becomes more your own, which I think aside from inspiration is probably the other big block that can happen. I think it's really hard to break that block without really understanding what ingredients are doing. Mm-hmm. So this is another instance where I think it's really worthwhile to like sit down and like even ask the internet, what is sugar?
Mm-hmm. What does sugar do?
Yeah. Why am I adding it? What is a leavener going to do? What separates mm-hmm. these leaveners? Ask some like really, really basic questions that maybe you think you know, but you probably don't because...
You could also always learn something new about something you thought you knew.
And so from there, you know, like you can, you know, you brought this olive oil cake today and you were talking about doing this in tandem with your followers on your Substack. And just changing the dairy from one dairy to another has a big effect because mm-hmm. of how dense that dairy is, how much fat that dairy is. It's mm-hmm. going to change the baking time. It's going to change the consistency. It's going to change the balance of flavor. You know, I think colloquially I've heard that, like, if you make three changes, the recipe is yours. I don't know that I agree with that.
I like that so much. That's like such a vague rule to, like, follow.
Yeah, but it's also like, okay, well, I changed the salt, I added cinnamon, and I changed the vanilla, so it's mine. It's so like, were those substantial changes?
I think you have to make, like, if you're going to follow that rule, the changes have to be substantial.
Or the method needs to be innovative.
Yeah, the method, if you, like, take the same exact ingredients, but instead of creaming it, for some reason, you're, like, blowing sugar now. And yeah, so if you, I feel like, if you change the methodology, that's like a big change that like, I would count as one change. And then I feel like a lot of people do make, oh, it was half a teaspoon of salt. And now it's actually, I did 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt.
So which like, probably is still not enough.
Yeah, it's
well seasoned desserts.
Never enough. But like, you know, that's not a big change. If I looked at your recipe and the original recipe side by side, I'm going to be like, this is exactly the same. There's no real...
I feel like the only part of this that bothers me is when we're applying it to then you, like, publicly, like...
Claiming it as yours.
Claiming it as yours mm-hmm. or distributing it as yours without any attribution or even mm-hmm. with attribution unless it's, like, specifically, like, being like, I am really inspired by this recipe. I'm sharing it here and not, like, I made this recipe and then underneath it says inspired by because inspired by... And just sharing mm-hmm. are different. But I think when we're talking, like, if you're just doing it for yourself or even if you're doing it for your small cake business, I don't know that it bothers me that much. I think making small changes are just fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're using... Because the point of me sharing my cake recipes
is to share
for
it.
People to make them. And if you're going to make them for your business, like... I don't want you to not do that. Like, I want you...
Yeah,
like, I want you to have the best recipes. And
exactly.
If you're gonna, like, and so that's not, like, an issue for me.
I think it's the attribution thing that gets tricky for a lot of things that we could talk about in a totally different topic.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about, like, you making small tweaks, if they are well thought out and you understand what you're doing, I think that's how you get through that mm-hmm. portion of recipe development. And, you know, I think that, you know, salt, incredible. Necessary in every baked good. If you mm-hmm. see it not in there, add
top
it.
Top to bottom.
You can't go wrong. Yeah. Sugar, it's not only sweetener. It's moisture. It's structure.
Yeah.
Eggs,
structure. Fat.
Fat.
More moisture.
Flavor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Height. Mm-hmm. It, depending on how you manipulate them. Separating them and then folding them in later. Only using yolk or only using white. These radically change things. The mm-hmm. other fat you use, whether that's...
Butter, olive oil, any oil, lard.
If there's dairy, mm-hmm. some options are...
Milk, sour cream, buttermilk,
yogurt.
Greek yogurt.
Jinx. Nice. Definitely only Greek yogurt, actually.
Yeah, thick and creamy. The thicker, the better.
So, and those are just like, that's just a basic cake. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, even in there are so many variables, but knowing what you're after, or at least keeping a good notebook of when you make this change, what happened. Because maybe you're not a research type and you learn by experience, but like the only way you're going to do that is if you're keeping a record, because you will forget, or you'll get overexcited and change too many variables.
Yeah,
I know this because
I've done it.
I still do it. So it's a constant lesson and a reminder. But I think like the number one accessory of anyone who's ever worked in a professional kitchen is a tiny notebook that fits in your back pocket with a pen. You recently returned to the kitchen, and that's what I gifted you.
Yeah, that was my Christmas gift.
Your back to school special. So I can't recommend that enough. Moleskine, sponsor us. We love your waterproof, small.
Or if you're going the digital route, which I've kind of switched to recently.
Oh, okay.
Especially like when I test in out of thin air, it is like very analog, like pen to paper writing notes down. In that setting, I'm taking handwritten notes. But when I'm at home and I'm developing for myself or for the newsletter, it's basically at this point like all online, all through Notion or the
Notion.
I love Notion. I can't really explain it because I am probably not using it the most like efficient way, but it's just like, or even the notes app on my phone, depending on like what I just have in front of me, like my laptop or my phone. There, I'll write the first version of the recipe that I want to make and then changes and then like rewrite the entire recipe again. And it's just like, it's nice because you can use Notion on your laptop or your phone. And like,
oh, nice.
There's never a moment where my phone isn't on me.
Notion, I sponsor us.
Truly. And taking notes is very important.
Yeah, I think I'm entirely in the analog world when it comes to recipe development, because I really enjoy like striking things out and just creating like the notes of a madman before it gets to be closer or defined to like a final product. But I do use my phone constantly, mostly to write strings of ideas down, like words and flavors. And I recently learned from a food stylist friend to wrap my phone with Saran wrap.
Or to cover the...
To keep it safe from like flying egg whites, from milk batter, from buttercream, from flour. It is brilliant. Like it clings perfectly and your finger can still be... It's amazing.
That's
like fully wrapped. Yeah. Like the jack, the mic, and everything still works, and you're not like going to need to trade in your phone a lot earlier than the average Joe.
Well, that's so funny because Alex today gave me these little, they kind of look like the coffee stoppers that you would put in your coffee, so the hot stuff, but it goes in your like charging port on the bottom of like the iPhone, so you don't get flour in there, which is so nice because literally 2 days into working on the croissants, my phone was so packed with flour that I couldn't charge my phone. I had to buy the like MagSafe
Just charger, to get it too.
Because it would not charge.
Yeah, I think this is a real problem. I worry I will lose whatever little thing you're stuffing into the small charger.
But then he showed me his phone case, and it comes with a
pop stopper.
Like it's attached to here, and you just like unhook it, charge it, and then when you're done charging it, you close it back up.
It's a brilliant like a plug cover.
OtterBox?
Stick with my cling wrap. I think it's pretty cool. Some might even call it a force field. Anything more to say on the topic of breaking through? I mean, my other suggestion is literally do anything else that makes you happy.
And it'll just
for come. A moment. Because if you, sometimes when we get too focused on something, hyper-focused, it becomes impossible to think to change tracks. So if you have any other hobby or any other creative endeavor, whether it's like making hand drawings or building fairy villages,
whatever,
or running anything, it can be
those
anything.
Are all three of mine.
Yeah, I'm like, listing off Cassie's pastimes. She's single and available.
flown a kite. I will say, like, turn to the internet. I know it's so hard for me
your
to like
Lord
suggest
and father.
That is our AI overlord, just go to the internet. No, but like following people on TikTok and Instagram or LinkedIn, or I don't know what you use, but like people who inspire you. And then I've found so much inspiration through just the internet, and I've found so many ingredients through just other people doing things on the internet, and it sparks me and I go like, oh, peach leaf, you can use that, like that's so crazy. How am I gonna use that? And not necessarily being like, okay, well, I saw Rose make like a peach leaf ice cream, so now I'm gonna make a peach leaf ice cream. I will look at what like you've made or like anyone's made, and I'm like, peach leaf ice cream, well, she must have infused that peach leaf into like the milk. I can infuse peach leaf into milk and use it for pastry cream, or then for a cake, or for this and that, and like think like that. I also highly, highly, highly recommend, if you only ever buy one book, it should be the Flavor Bible.
Oh, I agree. That's because one of when my top recommendations for anything.
When I am stuck and I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at sour cream, what could I pair with sour cream? And then you go and then you're, it just becomes this whole web of connecting flavors. And then you're like, oh, I didn't even know this thing existed.
If you've never seen this book, it basically acts like an encyclopedia for flavor. And everything is organized alphabetically in bold. And then under each thing is every kind of common pairing. Slightly biased to the Western world.
Yeah.
But it is still across the board an incredible starting point. They also did... like the Flavor Bible, like a follow-up, like a part two, and they did Culinary Artistry, which are also really great books from the author couple. And I think since a lot of people have replicated with like the Spice Bible and the Flavor
Thesaurus
or the Flavor Matrix or stuff like that, but I think that one is still like the seminal book. And then a book I've loved for a long time and you recently just discovered is Ratio.
Yes.
By
Michael Ruhlman.
We're screwing it up. Sorry, Michael. We love you so much.
You're my idol.
Which very much just dives deep into like the ratio of how things are made. So if you are wanting to go back to the foundational things and just have a real blank canvas to start from and like raw recipe test.
Yeah. Or if you're like stuck and you're like, damn, I really want to make this, like, I have no ideas, but I know I want to make something. If you just turn to, like, Ratio, the book, or just ratios in general, and then just really do one test and have, like, so much fun with it. Like, for the flour, use whole wheat, and then for the liquid, do something crazy. Just do something freaking crazy. And
yeah,
be like,
I think it presents really good templates.
Yeah. I think implementing more exercises like that where you just like plug and play, and maybe even if you're like scared of doing ratios because you're afraid you might mess up the math, because I used to think like, oh, two parts of this, I would get like tripped up on that because I'm horrible at math.
And how many parts do I have to start with?
And I'm like, wait, why are there 82 parts in here? I can't do this. But if you take like, not even to plug my own recipes, but like if you took my vanilla cake recipe and instead of all-purpose flour you used Sonora, and then instead of buttermilk you used Greek yogurt, and you just played around and plugged things that you're feeling like drawn to in there, like that will also just spark your creativity through like a practice.
I mean, I love the idea of making a game of it, because sometimes I feel like unintentionally I recipe develop because I look in my fridge and I'm like, what's going bad?
And it needs
or what do I have only a little of, but it's enough to make X?
Yeah.
What will it do? So I think that can be a fun challenge, because I think the main message of all of this is that if you feel stuck, changing your approach, absorbing something new, being more open, is going to give you some of that juice,
a new perspective,
to carry over beyond maybe whatever the exercise is. But I often find like the pastry fridge clean out to be
I made a cake
really
this
inspirational
weekend, and I didn't have or the milk I had was expired, and it like it smelled fine, but I was like, I'm gonna give this to my friends, so I don't want to use expired milk in it. Like, it's fine
for my customers.
It's fine for, no, it's fine for my cereal. I also don't have customers right now, so it's my personal milk, you know. So it's not even the good stuff. But I had like ricotta from a cheesecake that I was working on, so I just threw that in as the milk, because like cheese is just milk. So I used ricotta and I was like, beautiful. It's cake batter. It's delicious. And
beautiful.
Like,
I love changing up dairy. There's just so many options.
Yeah. And so I guess don't be afraid to make these changes because there's a 99-ish percent chance it'll work.
Yeah, especially if you're following ratios.
Or if you take the time to understand your ingredients and know what could be swapped for what.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to swap flour for sugar and be like, yeah, it's going to, it'll be fine. Like, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think that's a pretty good roundup of ways to break out of any kind of rut you might find yourself in terms of pastry artistry. Thank you for the question. Keep the questions coming. Keep the
questions coming.
We want to answer more. And we will keep answering them. Yeah. And as always,
eat cute.
Be cute.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us this week on Kitchen Tape. Our theme music is created by Dan Crabtree. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple to be notified when we release new episodes every other Tuesday. If you enjoyed this week's episode, we'd love it if you left us a review. If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, contact us on social media. You can reach Rose at TRoseWild and Cassie at IBakeMistakes or email us at KitchenTapePod@gmail.com. Catch you next time on Kitchen Tape Podcast.